I was talking to a pastor friend of mine today, giving her a ride to the airport. They have a very early service. And I said, "It's your second Christmas, isn't it?" And she was insulted because she said, "I have done 3 services as a pastor so far." And I said, "Okay, I'm sorry." And I said to her, "It's really different being up here versus in the pews, isn't it?" And she said, "Yes, I kind of miss sitting in the pews." Because when you're the pastor, you worry about too much at a Christmas Eve service. You wonder if there will be enough candles. You wonder if the candles will light. You worry about if all the readers will come. You worry about if you'll lose a page of your sermon. You worry about everything. But mostly you worry about the candles that you all will hold during Silent Night. Because when pastors get together, we can one-up each other on stories about what happens with candles. And some churches have just decided candles are too dangerous and too unpredictable. They quote, "The fire marshal has laws that you can't have so many candles in a church." You know, 26 years, I've never heard of a fire marshal coming to our church and saying, "Blow out those candles." Never. But people believe it. I know some churches now that everyone has nice little electric candles. Or there isn't a church in Marin now that is using glow sticks. You know, those, I don't know, no problems there. But not at Old First. We use real candles. And not because our name is Old. We use real candles because I think part of us loves the mystery and the beauty that happens with a candle. There's something about when you have a candle lit and you join others, it just moves you in a way. It kind of elevates you. It reminds you of the passage in John that said, Jesus was the light of the world. Without him, nothing came into being. But in him was the light of all the people. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. There's something about Christmas and the birth of Christ that is just mystery. How do you explain God incarnate, God enfleshed in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us? It's a wild story. And after 26 Christmas Eve services working, I have to admit that it is never perfect. That what is normal is this joy of planned and unplanned, of predictable and totally unexpected, of joy and chaos. Do you know what I know about life? It's a mixture of joy and chaos, of light and darkness. And I think I've experienced them all on Christmas Eve. There was the Christmas Eve when the lights went off in the church and my sermon couldn't print. And that's the day when I thought I had to have it written out or I would not survive. There was the time when someone's hair actually did catch on fire, but her sister put it out really quickly and it didn't seem so bad. There was the Christmas Eve service when we had a big manger in front of the church and we had full bales of hay and a full-size manger, and one unruly toddler who could not be controlled due to too many cookies before the service went up to the manger and found his place in the straw and just went and fell asleep right next to Mary. It's just where he needed to be. And in that chaos, we also know the beauty of a hymn that is sung, and all at once our hearts are kind of lifted in ways that we didn't expect. Or we hear a Christmas hymn that takes us to a place and a church or a time that we didn't even know that we missed. There is something that just happens in these services that can be unexpected and maybe a little crazy. Thank God, not in this service so much this year. But really, the Christmas story, the story about the birth of Christ into the world, it really is an unusual story. I mean, who would predict this? We are going to have the Son of God is going to come into the world in a child. Not just a child, but a baby. Born to two parents that don't have much experience with this. And you'll be born, that child, far away from his family, in a town they do not know. And he's going to be born in a stable because there is no proper room for them because the town is so full. And the first ones who greet him is not an over-excited mother or a mother-in-law who cannot be controlled. No, he's first greeted by shepherds. And you know about shepherds, and we wouldn't want them in our pews. They are messy. They don't smell good. They are outside for weeks and months at a time. It's the worst paying job in that day, and if you did it, you were kind of in the lowest in society. No one said, oh, we're having a party, we have to make sure to bring the shepherds. It was more, let's hope the shepherds do not show up in our town or at our tables. But it's to them that angel came and said, there will be peace brought to you by this baby. And what do you know? They left their sheep and they just went and they worshiped. The first ones who worshiped were these outsiders. And they came and they told Mary what they had heard. And Mary, I think it brought her peace, these unexpected visitors, because it said she pondered these things in her heart. I think those shepherds brought Mary peace. They brought her a bit of hope. They gave her just a wisp of belief that maybe what the angel said will be true. It's a crazy story, and it's messy and unpredictable, but friends, isn't that how our lives are sometimes? I needed Christmas Eve and Christmas this year because there's something about this day that makes me look at the world a little different, makes me look at myself a little bit different. I try to see others in the light of this story. It's like my Aunt Dorothy and my Uncle Bill, who were married for 52 years. They ate every meal by candlelight. And they did this at first because Aunt Dorothy was a terrible cook. And Uncle Bill said if you ate her food by candlelight, it didn't seem so bad. But the truth was, I think what happened, they did this for 52 years, that when you looked at the other in candlelight, they looked a little bit better. Aunt Dorothy looked like the woman she was when she was young. And Uncle Bill didn't look like he was, well, struggling with dementia in his last days because he could hold her hand in the candlelight. It means looking at someone with love. That's what the candlelight did. And that's what I've tried to do during these last couple days. Can I look at people as though the light of Christ is in them? Can I look at my own behavior and act as though the birth of Christ makes a difference? I know just today when I went to the farmer's market and tried to buy food, and yes, I was on the edge of crabby because parking was not good. I went and had lunch at the place, a little stand that I have lunch at every Saturday, but it was a different location, and they looked at me, and I looked at them, and finally they smiled and says, it's the woman who gets a mushroom pupusa every Saturday of her life. And this time they said to me, Merry Christmas. And I said, Merry Christmas. We were sharing just a bit of faith. We know the story. And when I saw people in stores today or on the street, I'd say Merry Christmas. I didn't say Happy Holidays, because guess what? I'm about Christmas. If I wasn't sure, I'd say it's my tradition to say Merry Christmas, peace to you. And they would say Merry Christmas back. Heck, I got a present from a Muslim, a Christmas present today. I loved it. Thank you. Because we were sharing that peace because we saw each other in light. Well, at a Christmas Eve story, you look for a marvelous story to change everything. And guess what? I couldn't find one. I wrote all my clergywoman friends and said, tell me that one great story. And she said, really, Maggie? You know the really good story. But if you're desperate, I'll give you one, and it's not very glamorous. And I said, okay, I'm desperate. And she said, well, I went to Panera yesterday. Do you know what Panera is? It's a place where you get soup and salad. And she was sitting there. She was working on her sermon, hoping she'd get a story. And she was sitting there, and at a table next to her, a teenage daughter was yelling at her parents. She was yelling because her parents would not support and could not support a trip she wanted to go to New York City with the drama club. And she was just going off. And her brother was looking at his phone trying to pretend like he was invisible. And her parents were mortified. And while this was going on, everyone was kind of trying to pretend this wasn't happening. And my friend, who said she'd done years of youth ministry, all she wanted to do was stick a sock in this girl's mouth. She had no kind thoughts, but around the edges of this table was a young woman who was wiping the tables. She probably had Down syndrome. She was walking around and cleaning the tables, and she came up to that young girl who was yelling, and she just waited until there was a moment of quiet, and she said to her, I don't know what's wrong, but I wish I could make you happy. And the girl quieted down, and her parents quieted down, and then my friend said she heard over the loudspeaker, you know how at Panera they say your meal's ready, she said she heard a voice, Jesus, your order is ready. Happy birthday, by the way. And everyone breathed a little easier because a story was told by the young woman who wiped the table. And the one who was being a bit silly over the microphone, reminding them of what was really important. See, it's chaos and joy all mixed together, friends. On this day, we seek to follow the light of the world who makes a difference. It still is worth following the light of Christ, even in the midst of darkness. So have a little hope. Take your hearts as they are and seek to follow the light of light, Jesus Christ, who came into the world and has not left us.